Good evening. I call this July 5th, 2022 meeting of the Planning Commission to order. My name is Darrell Bozger. I am the Chairman of the Planning Commission. It's my pleasure to welcome you. This is a public meeting and you are encouraged to be part of the process. Please participate, ask questions, share your thoughts. We have several rules to help us proceed with an orderly meeting and I ask that you keep them in mind. Turn off your cell phones. If you need to take a call, please step out of the chamber. When you wish to speak, simply raise your hand. I will recognize you and ask you to come to the podium. Secretary Jones must record who you are, so please state your name, spell your last name, and state your address. Keep your remarks brief, about 3 minutes, so that others can have an opportunity to speak. However, focus on your comments and we'll keep track of your time. This meeting is being conducted in accordance with the Nebraska Open Meetings Law. A copy of the Open Meetings Law is at both exits. I will now call for a roll call of the members.
Bozger?
Here.
Pleska? Neff?
Here.
Kading?
Here.
Hansen?
Here.
Fox? Schroeder?
Here.
Heinrich?
Here.
Call for the approval of the minutes from the June 7th, 2022 meeting.
Make a motion to approve.
Second.
Motion by Schroeder, second by Heinrich to approve the minutes. All in favor, or go ahead and vote, please.
All commission members present.
Almost.
Sorry. Voting aye, Kading, Schroeder, Bozger, Heinrich, Neff, abstaining, Hansen.
Thank you. I will open a public hearing to consider a conditional use permit submitted by Melvin Sudbeck of Melvin Sudbeck Homes, 16255 Woodland Drive, Omaha, Nebraska, to construct single-family attached dwellings with a minimum square footage of 1,200 per unit on lots 65 through 80, Ridgewood Estates, 1135 through 1287 Joanne Drive, a replat of lots 38 through 49 of Ridgeview Estates, a subdivision in the city of Blair, Washington County, Nebraska, for the life of the structures. Jeff.
Good evening, commissioners. Welcome to July already. First, for your consideration tonight, a conditional use application by Melvin Sudbeck. If you remember several meetings ago, we already had this on the agenda. It was voted on, but Mr. Sudbeck withdrew his application. Enough time had passed that we felt it was right to just start from scratch. So that's why we are here again tonight. So this conditional use permit is for the area north of Blair on Joanne Drive. It's located from 1135 to 1287 Joanne Drive. Zoning district is RM, residential medium density. Single family attached dwellings, also known as side-by-side duplexes, which is an easier way of thinking of it. In the residential medium density are accepted uses, so they do require a conditional use permit. This conditional use permit is to reduce the minimum square footage to 1,200 square feet per unit. In 2016, Mr. Sudbeck did applied it and was approved for a single family dwellings with a minimum size of 2,200 square feet for life of the structure, with the stipulation that the size stayed consistent throughout the units. That replaced the 2004 CUP that was granted for single property attached dwellings, the side-by-side duplexes, with a minimum of 1,200 square feet. Mr. Sudbeck is trying to go back to that 1,200 square feet from the original CUP in 2004. A packet of 16 letters was received in opposition to the change in Mr. Sudbeck's previous application. Several letters were received. This time, I believe it's all been in your packet. This is a zoning view. Here's Joanne Drive, north of town. This is RM here, RM across the street. This would be the apartments, and I believe the, can't even name it right now, but
Carter House,
thank you, which is residential medium high density. Thank you for that. This shows the lots. The lots are sized right now for side-by-side attached duplexes. Difference between duplex and a condominium is with a duplex, like these, the property will remain with the owner of the unit. You have two units, each one has their own half of their lot. This shows the area, he wants to add the conditional use permit. This is east, or looking west from John Drive, showing the empty lots here, all the way. There's a hill leading up to the houses on top. From the exact opposite, looking back east on John Drive from the other end. There are a few houses been built on the north side of John Drive. This was provided by Mr. Sudbeck, this is a couple concepts. Concept one, 1,200 square feet, two-car garages, fulfill the two-car parking per unit requirement. This is just a second concept, 1,300 square feet. And this just kind of zooms out to show you the entire part of the neighborhood and the area. Any questions for staff?
Is there any change from when he was here a few months ago to now? Is this?
There is none. This is basically the same application. Again, because he did withdraw, we felt it would be prudent to start from scratch.
Why was the application withdrawn?
He couldn't be here at the time. He also withdrew the apartment complex at the same time, and he just decided to withdraw them both at the same time. He could not make the next city council meeting, so he just withdrew.
The two buildings down on 10th Street, right off of 10th Street, do you know what the square footage of those two units are? Existing ones.
Right. I do not remember, but I believe that those are the 20, that they're at the current conditional use permit, based on a conversation with Mr. Sudbeck saying that he wanted to go smaller because he was having a hard time selling those. That's based on a conversation we had from the last time.
But you don't know what those are?
I could not tell you unless I go look real quick. Okay. But if they're under the current conditional use permit, they have to be 2,200 square feet per unit. He couldn't have gotten any smaller than that because of the current conditional use permit.
They're not that big.
So.
Thank you. Are there any comments from the audience?
Hello again.
Hi.
My name is Margaret, M-A-R-G-A-R-E-T, Bulbulian, B as in boy, U-L, B as in boy, U-L-I-A-N, 1234 Joanne Drive, Blair. What I noticed in the application between March and this one is there is a second concept. The first one was concept one, which was about, I have it right here, 1,221 square feet for two different models. They were a two bedroom, one bath, and a three bedroom, two bath. This time he's included concept two, which is 1,343 square feet. And I noticed in this one that he is objecting, addressing some of the concerns of the neighbors. There are no basements, and these are very, very small units. So this time it looks like concept two, he's increasing the square footage, which includes storage in the house. So we see that as a very positive move, and we are grateful that he's being responsive in this way. However, our concerns for this 1,200 square feet still remain the same. He's proposing to put in 16 homes there. I will say that my husband reached out to Mr. Sudbeck after the meeting and said that he thought that maybe we had some thoughts on how we might be able to satisfactorily maybe come up with some sort of solution to this in the interest of being good community members for him as well as ourselves. He said, quote unquote, he was too busy and that he was going on vacation and he never followed up with us, which I find very disappointing. We're not just throwing out opposition, we're looking for solutions to this too. And it didn't strike us that Mr. Sudbeck was looking for solutions. It was mentioned at that meeting too, in a very heartfelt, emotional plea by one of his representatives, that there's the need for affordable housing. Nobody disputes that in Blair, that there is that need. But Mr. Sedbeck also testified in this meeting that he requires $300 per square foot. At 1,200 square feet, that's a $360,000 home. That is not affordable housing by anybody's measure. The Nebraska state guidelines for moderate income housing purposes is 60 to 80% of the median income for an area. In the city of Blair, the median income is $57,764. That means that it's 60 to 80% for affordable housing, what they would consider affordable, moderate income housing, the household would have about $34,658 to $46,000 a year as their annual income. So if you just take that, what's kind of conventional wisdom is your housing would cost you about 30%. That's a mortgage of $866 to $1,155. $360,000 homes do not get you to this affordable housing. So that I wanted to address it very succinctly and very clearly. It's a red herring and it needs to be thrown out. The 1,200 square feet because he needs affordable housing is not accurate. This is about selling homes. The next thing, and I'd like to, if it's okay, I don't know how you handle it or want to handle it. I made some copies and I thought it might be a little bit easier to follow along on some of the facts and figures and numbers that I'm throwing out, if everybody has it in front of them. Is that okay? All right, thank you. One of the things, again, following up on this affordable housing and trying to understand the case that was being made back in March, again, we're trying to be good community members. We don't oppose homes being built there. We're not even asking for lap of luxury. We're concerned. We're rightfully concerned about what Mr. Sedbeck wants to build. So if you look at this, these are off of the frequently asked questions for the Nebraska Affordable Housing Trust Fund. Nebraska takes federal and state money and then allocates it to different communities. And if you look at the first one where I've highlighted in green, development gap assistance, the developer gets a subsidy. So if that developer builds, say for example, they use here a $250,000 house and they can only sell it for $200,000, this home trust will give him the difference. So he's not out anything in according to what he builds. That's concerning to me. It should be concerning, I think, to the community here. If you flip to the next page, in 2021, just last year, he made four applications for these funds in different areas. One of them was here in the city of Blair, Northern View. You can see that he said that out of a total of 22 units, 18 of these would be funded through this home trust. If you continue and follow over just on the Blair one, you will see also in every single case, he's using deferred developer fees in addition to the home funds in order to sell these quote unquote affordable homes. Furthermore, he has to partner with a nonprofit or a government agency to build these homes. So I, as one of the homeowners, I want to know, who's his partner? Is he planning to use Nebraska Home Trust Fund funds to build there on Joanne Drive? Who's his partner in this? Why aren't they being responsive to homeowners' concerns? My next point, and again, I'm going through lightning speed, just trying to stick to the time. He says that he needs $300 a square foot. If you flip over to this third page, I just did yesterday quick Zillow search, and I organized it. So Orchard Valley, the builder there, that's Melvin Sudbeck. He's got five homes that are for sale. You can see that the prices up there in Northern View, $379,900, $335,000, $378,000, $338,000, $316,000. So there's a pretty wide gap in there. You look at the square footage of those homes, and the size of the homes are very similar to what he's talking about. However, in Northern View, he's got walkout basements in four of the five of them up there. One of them is a finished basement. And he's still hitting that mark of 300 square foot approximately. The lots are a third of an acre for, et cetera. What is of particular concern to us with this Nebraska Home Fund money that he's using, if you look at those homes are sitting on the market over 30 days in one of the hottest housing markets in what, 40 years. And he still can't sell these homes. Now he wants to take Joanne Drive, build more homes there, says he can only do it for 300 a square foot, says they can minimum 1,200 square feet. They're not going to have basements. He can't sell them in Northern View what's happening here. I'm a little concerned, and I think that the city ought to ask maybe some more questions, detailed questions, about what it is he's planning to do on Joanne Drive. Again, not a single homeowner objects to having homes built there, and we're not talking about lack of luxury. But at what I'm reading here, not to be snarky, but it looks like he's putting in marble walls instead of plasterboard. You go on to another builder currently, Millennium Builder up on Credgy Boulevard. Okay, those homes are $395. They're 1,740 square feet, unfinished basements. How come they can build them for $227? What's going on here? On Joanne Drive, there is a builder, S&S Builder, $2,244 square feet, four bedroom, three bath, unfinished basement. He can do it for $221 square foot. I'm throwing out this argument of affordable housing. He can only build homes for this amount of money. Where's this gap coming from? It's concerning to me. My last point that I would like to make, and I thank you for your patience with me. The proposed value that he's pitching out here, this is a $5.7 million project that he's proposing on Joanne Drive alone. 16 homes, 300 square foot, 1,200 square feet. Where is the money coming from? Furthermore, Mr. Sudbeck stood here and said he built a home, a bigger home on Joanne Drive. He couldn't sell it. What did he do with it? He made it passive income. He turned it into a rental property. What's he gonna do when he can't sell these units? What stops him from making that just a long line of rental units, and in fact, is that his intention? I would like to know. I think it's a reasonable question, and I think these concerns are well articulated and well thought out, and I hope that there will be more questions asked. The questions: is it correct that he's no longer using concept one, he's going to use concept two? That's question one. Question two: will he in writing revise his application to reflect that? Will he put it in writing that neither he nor his partner organizations will rent any more properties on Joanne Drive? Is he building rental properties? Will he put it in writing that he won't do that? If he seeks to build affordable homes, how is it that his costs to build are 75% more expensive than builders also, at the same time his contemporaries here in Blair? Thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate it.
Thank you. Is there anyone else? Mr. Sudbury? Sudbeck, excuse me. Or some representative for Sudbeck here to answer these? No? Anything else from the public?
Steve Callahan, 1126 Corey Drive, 776 Skyline Drive. Someday. All right.
Spell your last name, please. Spell the last name.
C-A-L-L-A-G-H-A-N. Okay. After the last meeting, I talked to Mr. Sudbeck, and I told him, I said, I didn't have an objection with the outside looks of the apartments or the duplexes. I didn't have an objection with what he had built down there below for what it looked like from the outside. That's not what's offensive to us. What seems to be the issue is, what piece of real estate sits in Blair for over 3 years unoccupied? And it was a long time before those 2,200 square feet houses were occupied. One still is just a rental. And I want to question, you know, that doesn't happen. Not in Blair. Can you see how long a week for sale sign is up on any piece of property in Blair? It's not very long. Our supply is very limited. And so I guess that's my question too. Why did those sit empty for so long? Were they overpriced? Were they poorly constructed on the inside? I mean, I don't know. I don't have the answer for that. I just want to question why they sat so long, right? After talking to him, I said that I didn't object to the floor plans other than, where are you going to put the Christmas tree when it's not being used? Where are you going to put your appliances and other things that you only use occasionally, your roaster, your other things? There is no storage. If you look in those 1,200 square foot ones, there is no storage. I wouldn't want to live there, even, you know, wanting to downsize and get down to just, you know, my wife and I and minimalist. We couldn't live in one of those. Where are you going to put this stuff? Because the garages aren't oversized, you know? And so I guess that's my thing, is I'm worried that they, like I said, that they will sit. And they will sit there for a long time. We need affordable housing in this community. We need it desperately. You know, I sit on the school board and I know that. We've looked all over, we're looking at dealing with what we do as employers, and we know that that's one of our top priorities, is help to get affordable housing. But I think we need to have affordable housing that actually will be used. I just have questions on that floor plan of 1,200 square feet. And I'm not even objecting to it because it's below our covenants. I'm objecting to it because I don't think it will sell. I really don't. And that's why I talked to him and said if he'd put storage in, or even applied to put well-constructed storage units at the back of these, so that there would be some storage. But there is no storage. I don't think that they'll sell. I mean, that's just my opinion from seeing what he's built. And I did go through one, and my opinion was that he was asking a lot more than the quality that he was delivering, comparing it to Huber, Nielsen, and all the other ones down through the years, Bill Hardy, and all the other builders that we've had in town. Okay. So that's all I want to say, is I don't object to him building in there. I like the concept. It's fine. It's just I don't think that they will sell. I think we're going to be stuck with them, just like we were for those three that he had for an awful long time. I know two of them sat empty for a long time. The one single house by itself sold first. And then the duplex one is sold and one is still rental. And that's over 3 years now. So again, it's not that I'm objecting to a building, and I'm not even objecting to Mr. Sudbeck. I just think that he's not really thinking about, can I sell these and what's realistic? Why couldn't I sell those at that price? Because there are people who are building houses down there. I just was by the house that's being built. Okay, it's this two-story with a three-car garage with 2,200 and some feet. There's 800 feet on the top floor and over 1,485 on the first floor. Okay. Well, it'd be interesting to see how quickly that would sell. Okay, in that neighborhood. So again, I just ask you to think about that. That I just, with that current plan, unless he has added some storage, and I haven't gotten to see the 1,300 square foot one. I would have liked to have seen that, so I could speak on it. But the 1,200 foot square foot storage, even for retired folks, there's no place to store stuff. Walkers, crutches, other things. And if you only have one car, yeah, maybe you could get by with that. Okay. But that's, again, then making it only for elderly people. And I don't know if we want to do that for sure, because is there enough market for that? All right, thank you.
Thank you. Anything else from the floor? Yes, sir.
I'm Ron Bobolian. I'm Margaret Bobolian's husband.
You still need to spell your last name and address. Sorry.
Yes, first name's Ronald. Last name is Bobolian, B-U-L-B-U-L-I-A-N. And I don't want to repeat all that my wife mentioned, except that she and this previous neighbor, what they've said implies that if there is no storage, it implies that perhaps some cars are going to be parked on the street. And if it ends up that we have 16 rental units, you're going to have a lot of cars on the street. And in the last meeting, it was stated by the fire chief, or a representative from the fire department, that that street, the cul-de-sac, was too narrow for fire trucks to turn around. And so if you have a lot of cars there, and if something happens, you don't have a really healthy layout for dealing with a fire in that neighborhood if those conditions exist. Number one. And I think you've heard enough about this not being affordable housing, and I'm just concerned myself as well, and I hope you'll consider all the documentation that was presented. Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else? Then I'll close the public meeting, and what does the commission want to do or discuss?
I don't have any discussion, do you guys? Mm-hmm. Make a motion to close, to vote?
Mm-hmm.
What's our next one? Make a motion to vote?
You want to make a motion to approve the or disapprove?
Can I interject and just make a statement
Here?
Yeah,
go ahead.
Reason I ask about the two units on the end.
They're 1,100 square feet.
Is that what they are?
1146.
My mother-in-law lived in one of those for a number of years. It was very adequate for her. And prior to Melvin Sudbeck having anything to do with that, I made the statement several times that I thought that piece of ground was an ideal setting for that type of unit, for that type of housing, for retired elderly people. And that's okay, and then I'll shut up.
Yeah. Anyway,
we're good.
Did you want to make a motion then?
Make a motion, yes, to approve.
Approve the CUP?
Yes. Yeah, make a motion to approve the CUP.
As presented?
Yes, as presented.
I have a motion made by Kading to approve the CUP as presented. Is there a second?
I'll second it.
Second by Nev. Any more discussion or amendments? If not, please vote.
Commission members present voting aye, Kading, Bozinger, Hansen, Heinrich, Neff, voting nay, Schroeder. Sorry.
The motion is approved. It will go to the City Council next week, and you'll be able to talk to them about your concerns.
At this point, I have to excuse myself.
For the next one? You don't have to go into high heat, you can go back there.
No, he's gonna go back there.
He's gotta present.
Oh, I see. Oh, he's gotta present, okay. Got it. I will open a public hearing to consider a lot split application submitted by Henry Neff, 2510 Hollywood, Hollow Road, Blair, Nebraska, for a lot split of tax lot 291, a tract of land located in part of northwest quarter of the southwest quarter of section 14, township 18 north, range 11 east, of the 6 p.m. City of Blair, Washington County, Nebraska. Jeff.
Thank you, yeah. So your next consideration is the lot split application by Henry Neff. It is located in the southwest part of the city, outside of city limits though. Property is zoned ag, agricultural district. It will remain ag as this is a one-time lot split of 10 acres and then the only lot being more than 3 acres. Tract A will be 5.94 acres, tract B 10.39 acres. Tract B will be accessible from Skyline Drive. Tract A, which is where the Neff house is right now, is still accessible from Hollow Road. With the platting, all setbacks are correct for if the plat does pass. This shows you an idea of the property being split. 2510 Mr. Neff. One half will be up here accessible from this cul-de-sac on Skyline Drive, and of course the other part down here, which leads on the Hollow Road. Shows the zoning next door, RL for this area, RMH, ACH. Again, this is all the ag zone. This is a concept of what the access will look like after if the plat passes. Again, access up this way, and then from Skyline Drive for that lot there. This is a copy of the plat. Again, plat, track B is right here, showing the lines around the house. Track A, which is where Neff residence is at now, again, has that access. Any questions for staff on this?
That is a cul-de-sac that the one plot is going to be, where access to Skyline Drive, right?
That's yes, the cul-de-sac there, just, that is their public access, as yeah. It comes through there, over in this area there.
Any questions from the staff?
No.
Henry, you want to tell us what you're doing?
Well, I don't really know sometimes. My name is Hank Neff, N-E-E-F, 2510 Hollow Road. We had some people approach us a while back, very, very interested in purchasing a piece of ground. Long story short, we agreed. And that's kind of the way it ended up. There was no rhyme or reason other than, yeah, that looks good, let's put a corner there, and that's... there's an existing driveway off of the cul-de-sac.
Oh, is there a driveway there already?
Yes.
Okay.
There's a gate there, however it is closed. And I don't know what...
That's all right, I just didn't know. Any questions of Henry?
No.
Thank you. Is there anything from the audience would like to speak to this item number 5? Seeing none, I will close the public hearing and entertain the commission's comments or approval, or whatever.
I motion we approve it as it has been presented.
Motion by Schroeder to approve as presented. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Hansen. Any further discussion? Please vote.
Where's it going?
Commission members present voting aye. Kading, Schroeder, Bozinger, Hanson, Heinrich, abstaining, Neff.
So that'll go to the city council next week.
Thank you.
Thank you. I'll open a public hearing to consider a replat application submitted by Ken B. and Roxanne M. Funk, 14008 Pierce Street, Norfolk, Nebraska, for Deerfield Plat 2, lots 87 through 90, a replat of lots 19 through 23, a platted subdivision in the city of Blair, Washington County, Nebraska. Yeah.
Thank you again. For your next consideration tonight, we do have this replat application located here in the Deerfield subdivision. The current zoning of this area is RM, residential medium density. Mr. Funk wishes to create three lots larger than the current width of the lots that are existing. Lots 19, 20, 21 are currently 72 feet wide. By purchasing part of lot 22, and I'll get to that diagram in a little bit, which is owned by Mr. Donald Lang, Mr. Funk will increase the widths of the lots from 10 to 18 feet per lot. Mr. Lang's two lots will become just one lot. This will have the effect of reducing the five current lots into just four. If passed, the new plats will create lot 87 and 88, which will be now 82 feet wide. Lot 89 will be 88 feet wide. Mr. Lang's two lots, again, would be turned into one, would be 118.7 feet wide. All lots and dimensions of the RM district remain well above the current minimums for this district. A little bit easier to look at, here is the zoning here. Here are the five lots in question. We have RM surrounding it, Deerfield area, Edge of Blair. This is how it currently looks, 19, 20, 21, 22, 22, and 23, Mr. Lang's. If the plan is passed, you'll see that now these become 88, 87 through 89 and 90, with this lot, 72 lot, now being 82 feet, 82 feet, 88 feet, and Mr. Lang having 118.7 feet foot lot on the corner. This is a picture of the entire plat. Everything's assigned by the architect and showing the areas here for five and down to four. Any questions for staff on this replat?
Thank you. Is there any comments from the audience? Or is there a representative from Ken and Roxanne Funk? Speak to science, what you're planning to do a little bit.
My name is Ken Funk, F-U-N-K. We're moving from Norfolk.
Put address, please.
What?
What's your address, please? State your address.
Oh. 1408 Prospect Avenue in Norfolk.
Oh, thank you.
We're currently moving to Blair. And basically, have an opportunity to meet Don Lang, L-A-N-G, and we both looked at this one lot that we split, and I had an opportunity to buy it, if I can, and make my lots bigger for the housing that we want to put in there. I am a contractor, it's been 40-some years, and maybe we want to come here because I have grandchildren in the Omaha area, so that's about it. Any questions
for applicant? Thank you.
You bet.
Anything else from the audience? Seeing none, I'll close the public hearing. And what would the commission like to do, or questions?
Recommend approval of the replat.
Second.
Recommend approval of the replat by Hanson, second by Heinrich. Any further discussions? Please vote.
Present voting aye.
So that'll go to the city council next meeting, next Tuesday. Thank you. I will open a public hearing to consider an ordinance amending the City of Blair zoning regulations, Article 3, Section 303, sub 143, definitions, in Article 11, Section 1114, sign regulations, by adding and changing language regarding the computation of the face area of a sign so that only the largest face area of a double-faced sign is used to determine determination of a sign size. Jeff.
Thank you. Your last item tonight is a sign ordinance amendment. Currently, it talks about what you just read about the fact that if, when we calculate a sign, and this would be a brown sign only, we calculate both sides of the face. Doesn't matter how big, how tall, what the dimensions are, we're calculating that advertising face on both sides. We have an application for a sign from somebody building a new business in town. They had their sign company do it. The sign company was over. And I said, well, this is because it's both sides. And they said, we've never heard of that before. Through some research, we said, well, we'll take a look at things. Through some research, as you said here, the event that the sign is more than one face, the combined area shall be equal or less than the allowable area. 100 square feet. The person had, I think it was 55 or 58 square feet per side. We said we'll take a look at what some other people do. Usually don't like to use Omaha sign ordinances because we're not Omaha. However, that's the first slide I started out. The area of double-faced sign is calculated on the largest face only. Pavilion. The area of double-faced sign is calculated on the largest face only. Gretna. When the two identical faces are placed back-to-back, so both faces cannot be viewed from any point on the same time, at the same time. And when such sign faces are the same sign structure, not more than 42 inches apart, the sign area should be computed by one of the faces. Fremont, area double-faced signs calculated by the largest face. Same thing with Plasmid, same thing with Lincoln. After looking at that, we're probably not doing the best we can do for that. It's not changing the size of the sign. It's not changing the dimensions of the sign, having the advertising face on both sides. When we wrote that, we kind of looked at this, and we thought that made the most sense. In that ordinance, it does say if you have like a triangular sign, let's say you have a column, if you can view both faces from one point, well, that's going to count as both sides with this. But when you have a sign face that's 180 degrees back to back, it doesn't make any sense that you should count anything less than the largest sign face, because it really is not affecting anything else on that sign. So that is why we are proposing this ordinance amendment.
I think the thing to remember as a commission is not necessarily what everybody else does, but what's right for Blair. And when the issue comes to us, if it looks like a discrepancy between ours and what the prevailing practice is, then that's when I ask Jeff to at least go out and see what the other communities do so that we could bring it back to you so you could then look at it and make a recommendation based upon what you feel is good for Blair. if you feel it's good to allow the both sides to count, or, you know, just count one side, then from a staff side, that's no issue. But we have to enforce what's in the book, and when we looked at the other communities, it looks like the prevailing practice is probably that, you know, one side would count as long as, you know, the largest of the one would count or less. So we just bring it to you for discussion, for, you know, potential action based upon what you think is right for Blair and the aesthetics and so forth in our business districts and so forth.
So Jeff, it sounds like if you can only see one, currently, if you mm-hmm. see one side, it can be this big, whatever it is. But if you can see both sides, all of a sudden their sign squeezes down to a much smaller size. Is that true now?
Half as many square feet.
So right now, let's say you have, this is your sign right here.
Yeah.
Here's your sign face right here. The other sign face is over here.
Right.
You can only see one of those at one time. We, however, count both sides in your square footage. So you can't have more.
Oh, currently count both sides
so
right now.
You can't have more than this.
Okay.
Whereas, as Mr. Storm said, the prevailing wisdom throughout the other communities is no, let's only count one. Because you're not changing any parameters on the sign itself, just that advertising face.
If that's the case, then in essence what you're doing is doubling the size of the sign?
No, the sign will stay at its, right now it's currently 100 square feet. It's just that you only take one side. So I think I'd have to go back and look what One example we had was 55 square feet and 55. You would only take one of those sides. So it would no longer be 110 square feet combined because of the way our book is written now. You would just be the largest of those two sides. As long as you can't see them and they're back to back.
But I think what that means is if you can only see it, so people can put up a 100 square foot sign, but if they end up another face on the other side, now they all of a sudden can't do that, is right?
That's correct.
That's because currently, they'll have a smaller sign,
right,
basically, that you're going to see, even though everyone else can put up a bigger sign, only one side, because they only have a sign on one side.
Right, they still have to stay within that 100 right. foot maximum.
So that's what's currently happening.
Right.
Right?
Currently, this is, you know, this is your is all you're going to have lettering on. And it could be this big. With the change, they could put the lettering and a sign on this, the same lettering itself on this side.
And keep the same
not
size.
Not change the size.
Then you fold your paper in half.
That's what it currently has to
do. That's what we currently do, fold the paper in half.
Yeah. Okay. So does everyone understand what's going on?
Yeah.
Any more questions of the staff on this ordinance?
There are still restrictions on the size. There's still restrictions on, you know, placement, this and that. This, again, just changes the way we calculate that advertising phase.
Okay. Are there any comments from the audience on this open hearing? Seeing none, I'll close the public hearing. And what's the comments or recommendations of the commission?
Is there something to vote on here?
Let's see.
Or is this just information?
So you want to? They want us to recommend approval of the ordinance amending it. That's what it says. Recommend a motion.
I'll recommend.
Recommend Heinrich to approve the ordinance. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Kading. Any further discussion? Please vote.
All commission members present voting aye.
So they'll, I'm just curious, is this one of those ordinances that they can do pass by getting rid of three readings of ordinances like some? I'm just curious.
What's that now?
Well, a lot of ordinances they have to do three readings. Is this one they can forego the three meetings?
And yeah, this type of ordinance, it takes three readings unless you waive the second and third. You can waive the second and third.
That's just curiosity in my
point.
Yeah,
but to the planning commission, it's just a recommendation.
Right.
So it's just
we're just recommending.
Yeah.
Right.
Once you go to the council, then the ordinance has to have three readings.
But they can get rid of the last. They can waive the last two. Yeah. Okay, thank you. I'm just curious. Okay, is there any report from the staff?
Nothing from staff.
Okay. Motion from the...
Move we adjourn.
Second.
Motion by Neff, second by Kading to adjourn the meeting. All vote. Please vote.
All commission members present voting aye.
Thank you. Thank you, audience.